I don't want to quit too soon. Amen. You know, Paul made mention of some that had made shipwreck. In other words, they had started out. They had made that decision to go that direction. And then in time, whatever, the cares of life, sin, whatever it may have been, caused them to make a shipwreck, which voided their whole journey. Amen. No part of the journey is any good if the journey's not finished. Amen. Not even an almost made. It's good enough if we don't go all the way to the end. And so I want to make it. I was just thinking as our sister was singing, when Paul wrote to that church at Philippi, he told him he was pressing toward a mark. Amen. That prize of the high calling of God. Amen. And he goes on and tells Timothy, I done it. Amen. I finished it. I got it all handled now. And you know, in my own, I think a person finally gets to the place, if we go by the age of time, sometimes people just know in their heart, I've accomplished what God had for me to do on this planet. Amen. And I believe Paul was that man. He knew there's nothing else. They don't need me to even look to the future. I know I have finished my obligation to God on this earth. And you know, if history holds true, that, you know, you don't see many people waiting on the guard at the gate. Amen. But I believe Paul knew, I'll meet him face to face today. Amen. And ran to that place of martyrdom. Amen. To give his life for Christ. Amen. I hope we don't have to go that route, as brutal as some of those did. But I hope we have the heart that we would if it was necessary. Amen. And, you know, we don't know if we'll ever face that or not. And I trust and hope that we don't. You know, I'd just like to live old and then just go on to be with the Lord if he fit for me to do so. But if he were to see fit that we faced darker times than we have, Lord, give me that courage to say, well, if that's what's deemed necessary, that's what I want to do. Amen. Either way, I want to be able to have that same testimony. I fought the fight. I've kept the faith. And I finished my course. Amen. I want to make sure I finish my course. I'd like for you to finish your course. Amen. If you do, and you've lived how he desired you to live, there ain't nowhere else you can go. Amen. But heaven. Amen. What a wonderful time. And I believe it. I believe it's just it's nearer than we've ever dreamed. Amen. That we ever even could think. You said they've been saying that for a million years. That's well, it means we're a million years closer than we used to be. Amen. We're nearer than we've ever been. Tomorrow, I'll be another jump in that direction if I hold on in the faith. And I preached last week on one night on perhaps. Amen. And I heard one preacher he was an elder preacher that got maybe just tired. You know, if you've never done this much, sometimes just not just in body, your mind, your soul, you just get weary sometimes on your journey. Not of your journey, on your journey. And we just get tired sometimes. And he was in a foyer of a place and said he was there. He's tired. He's wanting to go home. And said he looked up and there was a sign. Said perhaps he comes today. Amen. Just fueled him this like new energy all over again. The very thought that I might meet him soon. Amen. Ought to drive us. Amen. God bless you tonight. Thank you for being here. My, we've just been enjoying ourselves. My children, they're just having a time. They've been a-playing. They got so much faith in what energy they're going to have tonight. They asked, could we bring a change of clothes for after church? They're going to really get involved tonight after church. So we do appreciate everything's been done. I know the lot goes on that I don't see about sometime in preparations and things of that sort. And I want you to know I'm thankful. That's not pulpit talk, not cliche. I really am. Amen. I really am appreciative of it. And because I preach to other places. It don't happen quite like it does here. So you all are very, very kind. And I do appreciate it. And, you know, and sometimes you can almost feel a little guilty. I'm just getting treated just a tad better than what I feel like I need to. Amen. But I am grateful for it. Thank you. And but what I like more than anything, I've been enjoying these tears and these altars. Amen. That's what I like. I know I've said it here and I'll say it forever. If the Lord will give me strength to remember it. What my Paul, one of his coined statements was, I've never seen a praying man backslide. Amen. You stay on this altar. You say, well, you know, what about these folks just riding the altar all the way to the end? I'm one of them. Amen. I want to be one of them. This is where I can talk with him. Amen. This is a place where I can get up here and tell him things that I can't tell anybody else. And he'll tell me things he might not tell anybody else. It's a conversation place at this altar. And if you have to ride it all the way, then you'll go the way of most Christians, amen, that make it to heaven. They'll ride that altar, amen, hanging on to God. So God bless you tonight. Amen, all that's been done. Man, I got to the gym back there last night, and I opened up the back of my Bible and took out all of my things that got given to me before I left here last night. I had drawings and colorings and words written. And my wife can tell you, they don't go away. Amen. I'll have them forever. And it don't matter if the smallest of children or elders, when people give me stuff in the ministry, I don't ever get rid of it. I hang on to that stuff. And those children that just blessed me last night, and Hannah gave me a coloring, and my wife and them got stuff, it's just, you know, and we do appreciate giving of monetary things that are given to us. But those things, all along down the line, I'll look at it, and it'll make me mindful. I remember where that came from. Amen. So thank you, even down to the children. Thank you. And I appreciate what you've done for us. Amen. Let's go tonight. Amen. If we can, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I'll try not to be too long-winded. That came with no guarantees. Amen. I got up last week. We preached revival at the church that for the majority of my Christian life, I attended before we moved off to pastor back home. And first night, they, you know, had good choir and special singing and all. And I preached, had a good altar service. Next night, had the choir, no special singing. Amen. I didn't know if that's because I had preached too long the night before or what, but he omitted the singing. Amen. But amen. Let's head toward the altar. Amen. Let's make that agreement tonight. Let's just get ready. We're going to pray about something tonight, Lord. We're going to talk to you in this altar. It's chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians, verse 5. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia. For I do pass through Macedonia. And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that you may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now, by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Amen. I want to preach tonight that the Lord would help me on where he makes the statement, but I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. And if I had to have a title tonight, this is what I'd like to use. Hang on before you move on. Amen. Hang on before you move on. Now, you all tonight here, I'm not around enough to know you just, you know, down to the in-depthness of your personalities. You all may be the group that I hadn't met yet that's just filled with patience. Amen. The group I came from or not. Amen. And I don't have it to where I got any to spare. Amen. To give anybody else. I get on, you know, I've told this before probably here. When I'm in a red light, when it turns green, it don't matter if I'm the first car or the tenth car. I think all cars need to start moving immediately. They no need to one at a time to begin to go that way that three cars get through, seven wait again. You know, I have a hard time with it. I don't always blow the horn, but I'll be thinking about it. Amen. And so I'm ready for them to go. And when we're getting ready for service, I just want everybody to just hurry and just get ready right now. And, you know, I don't have to do a lot with hair. I wear near the same thing every night, so I don't have to try to see what matches really. But now I do got a wife and three daughters, and all those things that they have to fix their hair, which I understand that. And, you know, they have to see what shoes go with what. I got brown shoes, black shoes. That's as far as it goes. But I can be impatient and thinking things need to hurry. When I'm back home with work and there's other people there with me, I think they need to hurry and get done with what's being done. And so sometimes you may miss out on things by being in a rush. Not always. Sometimes I do better with it than others, not always. But when I looked at this and begin to think about Paul as he's writing to this church at Corinth. Now he's at Ephesus. He's there with that church at Ephesus because he's writing to Corinth that I'm going to stay here a little while. And he begins to talk to them and let them know, I'll be coming your direction. And if I could say it in my own way, I'm coming to your direction in just a little while. I plan on making a visit to you and spending some time with you. He even said to winter with you, tarry a while, be there with you for what sounds to me like an extended amount of time. And so he's making future plans even where he's at. And he begins to let them know of where he'll be going through and what he's going to be doing. Then he comes on down and say, I won't see you now, by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you if the Lord permit. In other words, if the Lord works the things out that I've got on my agenda, we're going to spend some quality time together down the road. Amen. And I believe that you and I, a lot of times, I'm not going to Corinth, and neither are you, or to Ephesus, but, even in our everyday life, it's hard to just think about today. It's hard sometimes to just put all your focus on right here in this moment, right here in this time that we're at. It's a human's nature to think about what are we going to do tomorrow. Hey, some of mine done talking about, Avery, I may have been today, done talking about the different days, what we got to get done and this and that. I'm thinking about trying to see if we could make it through Wednesday. Amen. And see if we get through this. But what they're saying is, we done already trying to make some plans, Daddy. We're trying to get things lined up to go the places we want to go. Get back in some of these stores that we've been in. We want to revisit these places and go again. So they're making some plans. And they're getting ready. And all those things are fine and well. So I'm not preaching tonight on not making plans. Because that's what Paul was doing. He was saying, I'm already looking forward to the time that we're going to spend together. I'm already looking forward to the fellowship that we're going to have, that I'm purposely going to come to where you're at. Amen. And I believe tonight, if I were to ask you and I, do you got some plans that you're looking forward to coming to pass? Some of you may have a vacation maybe upcoming before long, or maybe a family reunion, or maybe some children or grandchildren that are coming in, and you're already making provisions for it, and you're already starting to set the house in order so that thing can come to pass, and all those things that are done. But we know as well as it is that we're planning for these things to happen, I still got to deal with right now. And I got to live this moment before I can live that moment. And I've got to make it through this day before I can achieve what I'd like to in another day down the road. And so as Paul begins to talk here, he lets us know when he's talking about tarrying, that he's going to tarry at Ephesus under Pentecost. In other words, if you didn't read what verse 9 has to say, he's letting them know, I'm coming to you. I'm going to spend time with you. But before I come to you, I'm going to spend just a little more time where I'm at right now. I'm going to invest just a little more of my efforts here where I'm at right now. And so as he says that, he says, I'm going to tarry at Ephesus. I looked up that word tarry, and it just simply meant this, to stay over or to remain. But that word I liked, it was a part of those definitions. One of them was to persevere. Amen. There's something at Ephesus that's causing me to delay
my departure to go to where you are. I'm coming, Corinth. I'm going to spend time with you. But right now, something's bidding me to stay where I'm at, because there's something I'm trying to understand. And this is what I feel like Paul was saying. Something in my heart tells me God's working something right here where I'm at. I don't want to risk missing out on what he's got allowed for me at Ephesus. I'm not going to bypass Corinth. I'm even going to go through Macedonia on my way. But before I do any of these things, I'm a little too scared to leave Ephesus right now. Have you ever been in a season with the Lord where you knew, God, there's something I want to happen in my life. There's some things I want to achieve in my walk with you. And after a little while, after you've desired that thing to happen, and after that you've longed for, you may have even prayed about it. You may have missed some meal. I'll be honest with you. If it's something you really desire, you probably did miss some meals over. You probably did lose some sleep. Because the same thing that the enemy will use to war against your mind and body, it's the same things that God will use to bless your mind and body. The enemy will take your appetite away from you with a nerve attack and with the worries of this life. But God sometimes will take that meal away from you to elevate your spiritual mind. Isn't it amazing how God can take the things that the enemy used as a tear down, and he'll use them to lift up? Amen. That's just a wonderful God that you and I serve. But Paul is saying, I'm going to persevere for a little while longer here. Amen. I just feel in my bones. You ever heard people say that might be something from the south? Amen. I just feel it in my bones that God is trying to bless me. I just feel it in my soul that I don't need to leave just yet to come to where you are. He said, so I'm going to persevere at Ephesus under Pentecost. Amen. Now, the day of Pentecost that you and I rejoice so much about, they've already had that. It's already taken place. But it was customary at that time. And they still revered that time of Pentecost. They longed to celebrate that. They longed to still honor that time. And Paul was saying, I'm going to do that. Amen. And I'm going to hang around until then. So I believe those at Corinth knew. I don't know when he's coming really, but it'll be at least after Pentecost before he gets here. Amen. It'll be at least that long before he comes. And so he's persevering. But this is what he says. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me. Amen. In other words, in looking at some of these words at different places in that verse, it said a big or an exceedingly great, a mighty door. One man said an abundant opportunity. Another man said a great, an energized door. So either way, whichever one it is, Paul recognized it's too good to pass up. It's something that's going to be a great blessing to me. And I can't wait to get to Corinth. But when I get there, I want to tell them about what happened at Ephesus. I want it to be that I tell them about what God done for me at Ephesus. And so tonight, that's what I want to preach to you and I. That there are things that God wants to do in our life. And I believe there'd be some of us tonight, if the truth to be told, that he's been wanting to do it for an extended amount of time. Amen. Almost to the point that we're thinking about moving on to that next thing that we were wanting God to do. We don't know about praying about it anymore. Don't know if I'm going to fast about it anymore. Don't know if I'm even going to ask him about it anymore. But could I come tonight on this Wednesday night and encourage you? Hang on just a little while longer. Persevere just a little while longer. Don't move on just yet. The blessings of Corinth are going to come. The fellowship of Corinth's going to come. But there's a door at Ephesus. Amen. Why would I go to Corinth when the door is open right here where I'm at? Why would I look to something down the road to be better when God said, I got something right here where you're at? Why would I look to next year's revival? Why would I look to the camp meetings? Why would I look to youth camp? Why would I look to convention when God said, right here on Blackburn Lane, I got something right now I want to do for you. I got a plan right here that I'm wanting to accomplish in your life. And if you'll just hang around a little while longer, persevere that discouragement, persevere that wondering how long it's going to take. God's got a door right here where we're at. Amen. And Paul says, because I feel that that's what's happening, I can't come yet. I can't leave here yet. Amen. Have you ever been at the altar I know you have. I'm just asking. I already know the answer. But you get down, you may have been burdened. Sometimes sitting back there, it's almost a feeling, if he would quit preaching, I wish I could go pray. I know, because I've been back there when my kind was up here, and they think, it's going to preach on forever, looks like. But you know, Pastor, then we, man, whoever's preaching gives the altar call, man, we rush to that altar. Because we're thinking, man, I'm going to get my help tonight. I feel like God's fixing to help me. Get down and get to praying, and the sooner your knees hit the floor, just as dry. And feel like all of a sudden I can't feel like I'm getting through. I can't cry. I feel like my prayers, I'm just praying to myself. And you know what a lot of times we'll do? Amen. I can tell you, God lets us know when we're in the pew. Hey, I just let you know, I've just opened the door up for you tonight. I'm going to let you go and achieve something. I'm going to let you go obtain something in me. Amen. Draw a little nearer to me. Draw a little closer to me. Amen. And we're so excited that it's something about to happen. Amen. Get down, get to praying. And, you know, and all we can about get out. Lord, thank you for the day. And well, Lord, thank you. I'm just glad we're in revival. I hope you just bless. That ain't even got nothing to do with what we was even going to the altar about. It's just all we can think to say in the moment. Why? Because I can tell you why. Apostle Paul said, a great door and effectual is opened unto me. But then he didn't leave it at that. It wasn't just a cakewalk revival. It wasn't just I put my hands in the air and heaven's going to fall. He said, but there are many adversaries. There's an enemy that don't like the thought that God's fixing to finally accomplish something in my life. Hey, this is for the young and the old tonight. Amen. You can't live long enough that you couldn't get a little more from God. Amen. But sometimes when we get to the altar and all of a sudden my prayer feels like it's empty, all of a sudden my seeking feels like it's in vain, you know that's that adversary, that's that enemy. And I've been to that place before. And what do? Lord, when I go down, I'm thinking, oh, I'm going through tonight. A minute or two went, oh, I don't look like I'm going through tonight. And I'd be just about to get up. Just tell you how I know God, sometimes what he desires out of you and I. I'd be just about to get up, Brother Nick, and all of a sudden, for whatever reason, when I was at my uncle used to pastor me for years, and he's got a hand about as big as both my hands. And I'd just be so discouraged because I was going in for prayer. I was going in seeking. I wanted a touch. I needed God's help. And I got in and I got to pray. And looked like not going to be tonight. So I just get up and go back to my seat. And about the time I'm about to get up, I mean in my mind, I'm done praying. I'm just knelt down, fixing to stand up on my feet. And about the time I go to raise my head up to go sit down, that big old hand get on my back. You know, you may have never been there, but you know what you do then? You just kind of wait until they move so you can get on up. But in those some of those times when I get to tarrying because that hand's on me and won't let me get up, I'm done. I'm ready to sit down. I've done give up on that service. But that hand's sitting there. That pastor of mine's a praying over me. Amen. Trying to ask God to help me. And you know, because he won't take his hand off of me and let me get up and go sit back down and wait on everybody else to get done. Before you know it, I recognize, well, I went to praying a little bit again. All right, Lord, oh, God, you know, just pray until he finally get his hand off of me. It just helped me tonight. But before you know it, them old eyes go to watering up, and I'm knelt down. You know what it was like? It was God let me know, son, I've opened the door. I need you to be able to walk through it right here. You know what I was fixing to do? I just fixing to move on. I finna just pass it off. Is this another service? I'm not going to get what I need from God. But that big hand being used by my pastor, which was being used by God, was telling me, hang on, son, before you move on. Don't get up just yet. I'm just now fixing to start talking to you. I was just now fixing to come down and abide with you. But I was so impatient with God, just like I am at the red light. I thought I need to kneel down and my prayer be answered before I could ever get both knees on the floor. Jump up, run down the aisle rejoicing. But God was saying, I want you to tarry for just a moment. I want you to spend a little extra extra time with me for just a moment. It's not that I'm not going to. I'm the one that put the door there, son. I'm the one that put that effectual there, that great door in an effectual. I'm the one that put it there for you to enter in. And I'm the one that's going to lead you through that open door, that's going to take you to a place you've never been before. But I need you to quit rushing. And I need you to slow down just a minute. And I need you to quit worrying about everything else that's going on in your life. If you just give me just a few moments in this altar, I'm trying to work my will out in your life.
But we live for God sometimes if we're not careful. A lot like we live life just as fast as we can live it. And if it can't be in the microwave, then don't put it in the freezer. Hey, now me and my family stay running so much, there's probably a lot of times we wouldn't even need an oven because we don't have time to sit and wait on the thing to cook at times. So it's put her in there, hit a minute or 3 minutes, and when she beeps, you're ready, buddy. But y'all, that don't work always. That ain't good. That ain't good eating all the time. It'll get you out of a bind. It'll get you through a busy afternoon, but that ain't going to sustain you. That ain't going to be something you want to do continually. Well, is that not the same way it is in this walk with God? A quick splash from time to time will be good for you. It'll help you through a Sunday morning. It'll help you through a night of revival sometime, and you get up, move on down the line for just a little bit, but they nothing like walking over to that stove when my wife may have some type of a vegetable here and another one here, some mashed potatoes, a pork chop or chicken breast or something there that she's cooked up on it. Amen. I don't catch it passing by, running out the door. I take a little time. I get my plate. I know this country preacher, but I'm a country preacher. So, amen, I dip it out on that plate. But you know what it is? I enjoy that more. Amen. I enjoy, by the time if I'm not careful, I'll come into there the same mentality as I do it other times. I'm just dipping, getting my plate ready to go. But if I'll finally get my plate fixed and just sit down at the table and just slide up with something cold to drink there beside my plate and just take a breath or two. You know, you enjoy that pork chop, you'll slow down. You'll enjoy them good green beans if you'll slow down. That pinto beans and cornbread. Oh, I don't know if y'all eat that up here or not. If you don't, you just missed out in life. Amen. But listen, you can't eat them things riding down the road. And you can't partake in that kind of a meal rushing up and down the highway. Those things only come when you take time to slow down and say, we're not doing that today. I'm going to sit down and enjoy a meal. I'm going to sit down and eat some wholesome food. Well, the same thing goes for living for God. Sometimes we need to just unplug the microwave and say, we're going to slow down for just a moment. We're going to quit rushing through everything that we're doing for God for just a moment. We're going to tear it, and we're going to let God give me something that's going to be wholesome for me. It's going to be healthy for me. It's going to be nourishing to me. But you can't rush through this stuff with God. Amen. Daniel ran in there and prayed. Oh, God, help us today. Listen for just a minute. Got to go. Day two, ran in there again. Now, that's a praying man. But he's prayed. Didn't hear what he needed to hear. I'm going to tell you. About 2 weeks in, I believe Daniel went to thinking, hey, well, maybe it ain't going to happen. Maybe I need to shift my prayer. No, you just need to pray it again. And on that 21st day, now you can tell me all you want to that you believe that Daniel didn't have a problem in the world just getting down for 21 days with no answer and just praying with all his mind. I don't believe that. I believe it became a battle. The reason I believe that, because it's noted in Scripture, the whole episode of that 3 weeks with prayer without an answer until God answered him on that 21st day. I believe that there wasn't a big deal. It wouldn't have been put on the pages of the Scripture. God wanted us to see that. A battle went forth. A struggle went forth. There was an adversary there. Hey, there was an answer there, but there was an adversary along with it. Amen. And there are those among us tonight. It's almost at that place where we're thinking, well, I'm
just going to change it up a little bit. I'm just going to move on about that. I'm not going to worry about it anymore. And man, what do you know? What if tonight's prayer is the one that's going to do it? What if this is the revival where that answer is going to come? And I say, you say, well, we're on Wednesday night. You're already in Wednesday night's message. That means I don't got but Thursday and Friday to go. And my chances are getting more and slim, more and more. But what if your chances are getting greater and greater? Amen. What if you're getting closer and closer to where that answer is finally going to come? Why would we write him off tonight? Why would we move on from that thing God's trying to do in our life when right here in this moment, amen, God's saying the door's open, the opportunity's open. You say, but I've missed that opportunity before. Well, thank God he opened the door again. He provided the opportunity again. What are we going to do with our time this time? What did the writer say? Let us not be what? Weary. In well-doing. And doing good things. Don't quit praying. Don't quit seeking. Amen. For in due season, in other words, in an appointed time, you shall reap. Not you can. Not there's a possibility. It's going to happen. If you've sown seeds of faith, they're coming forth. You shall reap if you faint not. In other words, if you don't move on, you're going to reap. If you hang on, you're going to reap that benefit of a sowing in faith to God. Amen. And so, you know, back home, I don't know what all you like to do up here for hobbies. Some of you, amen, I like to deer hunt. I talked with Pastor a little bit about it since I've been up here. I enjoy deer hunting. But, I'm impatient in that too, if you're wondering. Amen. I'll get up 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, whatever it is at the time is at that time. And I'll just walk in the cold and in the dark and, you know, get in, set in the dark for ever so long before it's ever any light of day and just sit there in the outer darkness all the time. I'm ready. I'm there for a reason. I'm after something while I'm there. So it's not that we're not after it. It's not that we're not pursuing something. We are. And we know what we're after. And we know what we're pursuing. And we know what we want God to do for us. But you know, sometimes as long as I'm 45, been hunting since as a teenager. Amen. But still, it's just in my nature. When it cracks daylight, or after about 30 minutes, he supposed to done be there. Amen. He supposed to done walked up and stood out in front of me and let me go on to the house. And I get a little impatient. And I'll tell you what happened to me one time. I got tired of sitting there. I got impatient. I got down, went and got my truck, went to town, done around. We came back in, and I had a camera in the woods. I opened the camera, and from the time I left and went to town and came back, up above the buck come in there to where I'd been hunting at. If I'd have stayed there, if I'd have held on before I moved off, amen, what I was in there looking for, a buck had come into that place. Amen. And I wonder how often it is when we're already sitting up wondering, how long are they going to pray? Or how long are they going to stay in the altar tonight? When the whole time I'm still supposed to be in the altar. And I'm still supposed to be seeking God. And if we're not careful, about the time that I'm walking out the door is about the time I was supposed to have been breaking through with God and getting an answer to my prayer and getting the encouragement that I needed on my journey. But I didn't hold on. I moved on. It cost me. I get in the log, come in town. Restaurants I like to eat at, I drive by. The people lined up out the door on the sidewalk. Right on by I go. I'm not standing out there. I don't care if it's the greatest steakhouse in all the world. I'll eat at McDonald's. I'm not staying there. Go to the drive-thru and they over 4, 5, 6 cars in the drive-thru. Right on by. I don't want to stop. I just can't hardly stand to sit there and wait all that time for them cars to move. But I got it honest, if y'all was wondering. I don't like the possibility of an inherited type thing, because there's some people before me that's like this. But listen, I may get a little impatient, miss out on a good steak dinner. I may get impatient, miss out on a trophy book. But listen, I don't want to get impatient and miss God getting hold of this heart. I don't want to get to rushing God. That's how we do it, ain't it? He said, well, preacher, you ain't got to work this week. That's all right. I did last week and preached every night and got to next week and preach. Amen. And drive an hour next week at night, go preach an hour home and work there. And my clock goes off at 4:30 in the morning. So I do understand what you're going through, some of you. Amen. So, but what I'm saying is this. Amen. Wouldn't one night of that be worth it to sacrifice to know on your ride home that you could look in that rearview mirror and say, can you believe he finally done it? Can you believe you finally got an answer to your prayer? Can you believe that you finally got a breakthrough? Hey, we're going to the things that we wanted to go to, but let's have a revival before we get there. Let's have a move of God before we get there. Let's let God answer that prayer we've been praying before we get there. Sometime it costs me my time to get what I need on his time. Amen. So hang on before you move on. I'm getting ready to close. Somebody wants to come. Amen. So often, and Paul's there, he says, great door and effectual is open unto me and many adversaries. It's so easy to just say, I'll try again later, when that initial move is met with opposition. That little mini me back there, do y'all think he's got any patience? Maybe he might have less than I do. But he can get a tool. And if that screwdriver don't immediately fit that screw and get it out, it can sometimes gets bad. It's supposed to, the moment he touches, it's supposed to everything's work just right. And he just scraps the idea. Don't want to fool with it anymore. Moves on to something else. But then I may have to come along behind him, because I take just a moment. Take me to slow down. Don't rush. And it comes right to pass. Works just like it needs to work. Not because I was better at it, but just because I slowed down for just a moment and let it work its own self out the way it's supposed to. Let's stand tonight. Y'all, there's something I believe. I believe, just like all the rest of us, the Lord's soon coming. I believe that. My mama's been gone now 5 or 6 years, maybe, something like that. Died, passed away at about 89 or so, and then my papa lived on to about 92. I preached both of their funerals. Both of them I deemed the greatest people I'd ever known. But she used to think, she'd read the Bible from cover to cover 2 to 3 times a year at least. Because she was older, her health wasn't good. So she'd sit in her chair and read her Bible nearly all day long, every day. And she used to maybe had made mention that she kind of felt like in her own heart, because of the way she read the Scripture, she knew the Lord was soon to come. She felt like it may even happen in her lifetime. So she was looking for him all along. He might come in my lifetime. He didn't. But Brother Shane, that ain't caused me to quit looking for him. Because I'm thinking, if he didn't come in her lifetime, he might come in mine. And if he don't come in my lifetime, he might come in Brother Lincoln's lifetime. Amen. And if he don't come in Lincoln's lifetime, he might come in my grandson's lifetime. But whoever's lifetime he comes in, he's coming. But y'all, let's don't just write it off where the Lord's a coming back. It'll all happen here in a little while. No, but let's, God's saying, hey, that is going to happen. That event is set in stone. It's happening. There's no principality nowhere that could stop it. But I got something for you now. Hey, nothing going to be better in heaven, y'all. They won't nothing be better than the coming of the Lord for the saints of God. He said it'll be a great and terrible day. To some of us, our dreams can't even comprehend the emotion that we'll feel to know I'm ready when the trumpet sounds. And I don't believe that man, woman, boy, or girl that's lost their emotions, they can't even imagine the emotion of dread and fear to be unprepared at the sounding of the trumpet of God. Brother Nick, until then, he's got something for us. He's moving for us. There's a deeper walk than the one I'm walking. There's another mountain that I can get to the peak of before he gets here. Hey, you ain't got to rush to eternity. It'll be there. It's coming. You don't have to rush. It's coming on its time, and you can't stop it. You can't slow it down. But why don't we just hang on before we move on and let the Lord know, Lord, there's something you're trying to do in my life. Listen, there's young and old here tonight, so that's going to fit each life differently when I say that. To these younger ones, it might apply different than it does to these that are older. But to everybody, God's got something that you don't got yet. Let's don't rush past it. Let's get in this altar that tonight, this week, let God know, Father, whatever this opportunity that's being presented, may I not pass it by with my spiritual impatience, but let me lay hold to it while it's available. Would you come? Amen. Everybody that can and will, wherever you feel best about praying, why don't we let him know, God, I'm going to tarry. I'm going to get a hold of this thing. You didn't open this door just to open a door. You opened it so I could come through it. There's something greater for me, God. There's something greater. Thank God.